bit of interview, you know, we talk.
What?
We talk a little bit.
What's this town again? I forget.
Buchlingen.
Yeah. We're here in Buchlingen with Axe Genrik.
And dogs. So, you started out in music when?
It was in, I think it was in Berlin in 1961,
uh-huh.
Which was kind of American folk music, which was called skiffle.
Yeah.
With washboard and jug band music.
Yeah, I remember. Lani Danigan.
Lani Danigan was a big hero, yeah. And that was still in school with schoolmates.
Uh-huh.
And we played in school or at school festivals.
Yeah, it was all amateur stuff.
Really, I'm with self-built instruments and uh-huh. That. It was really fun. And that was, I played a washboard on this occasion.
Uh-huh.
And then there was, I mean, it's in the 50s in Germany, there was not really much rock and roll. It was more Dixieland and Dixieland revival.
Mm-hmm.
And when the rock and roll came over in America, the twist began. And right. So it was mixed up with twist craze and rock and roll. And
yeah.
And after the skiffle group, we started a twist band.
That's just that was before the Beatles. Yeah.
A little before the Beatles. And we played stuff by Cliff Richard and the Shadows and American Joey D and twist bands. Like.
Uh-huh.
And then I was for a very short time in a group who were called the Lords.
Yeah.
They were quite famous in Germany.
Sure.
And
did you do any recording with them?
No. But they did recording. But then it was not the... I don't know. And in the Lords I played bass guitar, which uh-huh. was my first electric instrument. And then we made our own group with still the schoolmates from the skiffle band.
Uh-huh.
That was called Rocking Chairs. And with that group, we played amateur maybe 2 years, and then we started professional
uh-huh.
in 64, I think. And that was together with the Beatles songs and Kings. And we played in West Germany, and we had monthly gigs.
Uh-huh.
That's you get an engagement for a club, and you play the whole month.
Yeah.
And that was really... Learning time. It was quite good for I think 2 years. But the music was all copied, and we had maybe 4 own compositions, but they sounded like other people's music too.
Uh-huh.
And after that, suddenly the new thing started. That was psychedelic and. In Germany it started maybe
68, 69. Yeah. That's when you started with Guru Guru?
Huh?
That's when you started with Guru Guru?
No, not really. Because I went back to Berlin and there was a... you call it underground scene. And
mm-hmm.
There was a club that was called the Zodiac. And there, many people started, like Edgar Froese.
Mm-hmm.
And... Joachim Rodelius, you know,
yeah.
From Cluster, he started there too, and me too, and that was the first time when I played improvised music
mm-hmm.
and some kind of own compositions.
And you all went to the same art school.
So many musicians come out of art schools.
Yeah, because I have so much time to do different things and being at school. And that was really an interesting time in Berlin then. It was a real scene together with the political scene
mm-hmm.
and students movement and
yeah,
it was really cooking time. And then they made the first German rock band festival in a big palace, sports palace. Now it's broken. And that was, I think, in the winter of 69. And there all the German bands played. And I played there with Agitation Free, you know?
Yeah.
And Guru Guru played, and 90s Wonder, and Tangerine Dream. And I think all the German bands were playing there.
Amandil
too? No, not Amandil, because Amandil was much more known than the other bands. Uh-huh. Amandil had much publicity because of... there was a political scene, and there was... Commune number one, and all the papers were writing about them.
This was the first Amandil in those days.
First Amandil, and they had much publicity, and they don't play on this festival. Well, the festival was really interesting because you could see all the German groups together, but there was not much audience. But it was musicians, all they learned to know each other. It was very interesting. And then, after the festival, I was really excited about Guru Guru. I really like what they do. And they had an American guitarist, Jim Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
You know him?
No.
He was a very good guitarist. And he had, I think, a lung problem. And he was, and after the concert, he has to go to hospital. And then the Gurus had another gig in Berlin, which was quite a scene gig in a Abbruchhaus, what heißt it? In a
derelict house that was going to be.
Yeah, it was a big fiesta. And I went there too, with all the people with bongos and like this. And then I looked at them, and they had no guitarist. No.
Uh-huh.
They were only two. They started out only trapped with space sounds on bass. And
yeah.
And then I asked them if I can join in. No?
Uh-huh.
And they said, I don't know. But I wasn't shy then. I took out my guitar, and I joined in right on the gig. And it was... From the first moment, it was okay.
Uh-huh.
And then they asked me if I could come to West Germany. They had another gig. I remember it was in Erlangen, together with Free.
Uh-huh.
And I said, why not? And then they told me, okay, you're quite good guitarist, but we want to look for other guitarists.
Uh-huh.
And that was a big pressure time for me, because I thought, oh... I don't know, maybe they find a better one and so. And I think that went, it was in 70 for half a year. And then after this half year, I could stay in the group.
Uh-huh.
And I dropped my art school, and I didn't finish. And then we found, Guru had no home in the beginning. They had only their van, and they lived in the van.
Uh-huh.
And they slept at people's flats, and it was like vagabonds a bit. Yeah. It was really good.
Just traveling around. And
yeah, but not so good for me, but for them it was really good. But then they decided to find a house. And the first house was here in Odenwald in Langenthal.
Uh-huh.
That was a guest house. And from that on, it really started.
Uh-huh.
It was the first time we could really practice. But the UFO record was made before that.
Yeah.
It was in Berlin, the recording session.
It was on OR, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell them about the recording session. That was
yeah, the recording session was very good for the UFO album, because... we decided to play like live. It was a big studio,
uh-huh.
And we built up the equipment like on stage.
Yeah.
Know? And many people were invited, and Smoke Hash, and it was really a weird scene.
And it was improvised.
It's all improvised. Yeah. We had no song structure. It's like we start and end, and then we see what will happen. And it was very honest music in a way.
So it's just as new for you as this for the audience.
Yeah, in a way, yeah. That's what Uli was saying. He likes to play what on his instrument what the audience is thinking. Uh-huh. So what the feedback of the audience he would to give back, and then you have a permanent feedback going on, which sometimes was. But it was really heavy the music in the beginning because it was very loud.
Yeah, were you playing to very big audiences at that time?
No. It was clubs and all, or small. You know, it was not big audience. Mm-hmm. That came later.
And on the second album, it was much more structured music.
Yeah. The first album, we decided to do it without playbacks and without any tricks and just like we played live.
Yeah,
and
no overdubs.
Yeah. And then we found out that's not so good. And on the second album, we met Connie Plank. Uh-huh. And with Connie, we started overdubbing and effects on like echo or phasing and, mm-hmm. and all the things. And we cared more for song structures a little more.
Uh-huh.
It was different. Yeah. Yeah, it's not so easy to tell.
But it's something special, I think, for a group that's right.
Yeah, we didn't get much money, and it was sometimes really hard time because we could not find place to sleep or like this, and if there hadn't been Uli.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it would fell apart, the whole idea. But Uli was really a strong character, and it was like, sitting together in a spaceship and driving interstellar. Or
that's what you talked about too. Was like this whole idea that started that we are a spaceship and traveling
all
the time.
Wow. And it was really us, an opposite of to all other people, and it was really interesting and really together. Yeah, much dope smoking. And that's what I really miss today, because now it's also drummers working in university, and we see occasionally and then go on gig and then say bye, and it was really different then.
Yeah.
But the whole time was very different, because when you came to a town, maybe Heidelberg and so, you go to a certain place and you find all the other people, and
yeah,
was big scene, and then
the whole German music scene was very young.
Very, very young.
There
and
were no American groups coming in back then. No.
It was very different. No professional attitudes. It was all spontaneous.
Yeah.
Very spontaneous. The Gurus, before I joined, they played on streets.
Yeah.
And
electric.
They asked, and they built up equipment and just played.
And,
then the police came and they made a happening with the police together. It was very good. But then,
you really accepted the reality. It was not like when we come, everything has to be all set up and ready for us. It was, let's see, can we do anything?